Luke chapter 19, verse 41. Praise the Lord. Glad to see you. Let's stand for the reading of the word. When he was come near, he beheld a city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even now, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Now I'd like to preach this morning for a few minutes on the time of thy visitation. Now, three times in the scriptures that Jesus wept. One was at the grave of Lazarus when his friend had died. Jesus stood by the graveside of Lazarus and wept as his friends wept over the death of Lazarus. The Bible tells us that Jesus wept in the Garden of Gethsemane, for there, in Hebrews 5 and 7, it says that he made requests with strong crying and tears and was heard as he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then in this text that I read to you this morning, Jesus wept and cried when he beheld the city of Jerusalem as he was coming into Jerusalem and beheld the city there, riding there on the donkey just outside of Jerusalem, looking on that city. Jesus wept over that city. Jesus was weeping over the city of Jerusalem because this city had missed their spiritual opportunity. You see the words that Jesus spoke to these people. He said, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. That day that he's talking about was the day of their opportunity to get right with God. Not only did they have a day, but he said later on in here, he mentions the time of their visitation. God had given to them a day in which to repent. He had given to them a time in which to get right with God. And Jesus was weeping because these people had missed out on their day of opportunity. Now then, they were facing the judgment of God, and there was no remedy. Did you know that people, nations, cities, and individuals, when they reject the mercies of God, they get to a point to where judgment is coming and there is no remedy. The Bible said, He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. These people were about to be judged. Sometimes I've heard people preach and talk about the judgment of God in such a way that you would have thought they were glad that people were going to suffer the judgment of God. But that is not the attitude of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When he looked on Jerusalem, and he saw in his mind a day just a few years off when this city would be leveled again, when the inhabitants of this city would die, when blood would run like rivers in this city, when over a million people would die in the city of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., in the siege of the Roman army. Jesus saw that in his mind. And the Bible says that Jesus wept over the day of judgment that was about to come upon these people. I want you to understand something about God this morning. One thing about God is this. God wills that every man be saved. For the Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It amazes me, the mercy of God. I'm astonished at the mercy of God. Over and over, I'm astonished at the mercy of God. When I see souls that I would have long given up on, when I see souls that I would have thought that there's no hope for them, but somehow God's mercy reaches them. I'm amazed and astonished at the mercy of God. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We look at a man that's a rich man, that's tied up in the affairs of this world, and who has a great esteem among the men of the world. We may think that that man is beyond the reach of God, but I'm telling you, that rich man, God loves him just like he loves me and you, and it's not his will that that man perish. God wants him to be saved. We may look at the drunk down in the gutter and say, that man's beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, the mercy of God reaches into the gutters of this world and pulls men out of the gutters of sin and saves their souls. Ah, we saw in this missions conference, and my heart was so stirred. We saw pictures of slides and of many different places in the world, people of different color skin, different nationalities, different races, and different customs and different cultures. And we saw people that have been saved by the grace of God. And God's grace reaches into the deepest jungles. And God's grace reaches into the places where the gospel has never been reached before, preached before, and pulls men out of sin, because we are amazed at the mercy and grace of God. And God wills that all men be saved. Oh, yes, that's the reason that Jesus is weeping over this city, because he is sad. It was his will that these people be saved, and Jesus is brokenhearted at the judgment that's coming upon them. The Bible teaches us in my text this morning that God gives men a season to be saved. In other words, there is a time in our life that we can get right with God. There is a season. He said in this, he mentions the season, the time of their visitation. That season of time that God gives to us, a time when God visits us, a time when God knocks upon our heart's door, a time when our heart is made tender toward God. Now, our heart's not always tender toward God. You see, there's times in our life when our heart is hardened toward God. We don't feel the tenderness, no need to respond to God. There's a coldness and a callousness and a hardness that sets in to men's hearts until the Spirit of God begins to deal with them. The time of God's visitation, and all of a sudden that hard and cold and callous heart is made tender toward God, and there's an opportunity for that heart to respond to God, because it's the time of God's visitation. These people had missed out on the time of God's visitation. That's why Jesus is weeping over them. I've preached to you for several Sunday nights from the book of Genesis. And I've preached maybe a couple of times on the time of the flood. This scripture is mentioned there in Genesis chapter 6, where Noah warned that generation and said, God said to them through Noah, my spirit shall not always strive with man. In other words, that generation was given a season, a time to repent, a time to get right with God. When they failed to respond to the warnings of God through the man of God, Noah, God wiped out that generation with a flood. The judgment of God came upon them. In the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. So that in every man's life, there is a season of time when he is near. There's a season of time. Call upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Did you know that there is a time when he cannot be found? That there's been many a person that waited until when they cried, he could not be found. If you read in Proverbs chapter 1, the Bible gives us a severe warning there. And it tells about a group of people. He said, when I called, you would not answer. So he said, you're going to call, and I'm not going to answer. I'm going to laugh when your fear comes. I'm going to mock at your fear. And when you call, I'm not going to answer. Because when I called, you did not answer. So, you see, there comes a time when he's not near. There comes a time when he don't hear. There's a time that we're to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. A season of life to get right with God. I have read in the book of Hebrews where, and this is a quotation from the book of Psalms, it says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart,
yes,
as in the day of provocation. That word today is in capital letters. It's not a 24-hour day. That today is a season of time that God is speaking. It's a season of time that God is calling. It's a season of time that God is dealing with our hearts. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, He said. Brothers, at some point in my life, and at some point in your life, the sun rises on our day. And there comes a season of time in our life when we can get right with God. But none of us know where the sun is in the day of our opportunity. We don't never know when that sun's about to set on our day of opportunity. That young man that died this morning in front of Bobby and Brother Bobby and Sister Carol's house, no doubt just a teenager, had no idea that he was going to face God before the night was over. No, a young man, he did not realize that the sun was setting on his day of opportunity. Many young people put it off saying, you know, I've got plenty of time. I'm young, I'm strong. And they take dares, they treat life casually and carelessly and feel like that they're invincible. But I'm telling you, many a young man and many a young lady has stood before God. The sun set on their life before they realized that the sun was already on the horizon and a setting in their life. We do not know how soon the sun will set on our day of opportunity. But today, if you will hear His voice, and harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, He says. Oh, listen to the prophet Jeremiah crying out concerning his people, 40 years standing before a nation on their way to destruction, crying to that nation to repent, turn back, don't keep going this way. 40 years crying to a disobedient nation. Finally, he says one day, he says, the summer is ended. Harvest is, how do you say it? Summer is ended. Harvest is past. And we are not saved. Oh, brother, that was a time when Israel, when Judah could have turned back. Finally, God says to Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. I'm not going to hear your prayer. He says, if Noah were here, if Moses were here, if Samuel were here, they could but save themselves. I would not hear their prayers concerning this people. The summer is ended. The harvest is past. We are not saved, he said. He was a broken-hearted man. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, and that I could weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. I say, brother, it's time that the church of Jesus Christ had some fountains broken up again in their heart, and we could weep over souls that's passing into eternity lost without God. My heart's been broken over our young people in this church. And God's helped some of them, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm telling you, you don't realize, young person. I'm telling you, you don't realize the seriousness of life. You don't realize the seriousness of life. Ah, oh, here's a girl, 36 years old, that passed away this morning, if I've got it right, 36 years old, I believe. Sandra passed away this morning. She had no idea a few weeks ago when she went to the doctor that she'd be gone this soon. Oh, that specter of death stalking the path of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this place. Has no respect of persons. He doesn't just choose the old. He doesn't just choose the middle aged. I'm telling you, death is stalking your trail. It's appointed that the man wants to die. After this, the judgment, the Bible says. 36 years old, Sandra lost. Wrapped up in her job. Working 7 days a week. No time to go to church. No time for God. And all of a sudden, God brought it all to a screeching halt. And here she is, just a young lady, diagnosed with cancer. They don't know what kind. Kent takes them a while to find out. Very rare kind. They don't really know what the outcome's going to be. They begin to treat her. She comes to church a few times. She's a sweet-natured girl. I mean a sweet-natured girl. And had one of those best attitudes anybody ever dealt with. And we go see her and pray for her and talk to her about the Lord. And she'd come to church, and I believe she had it in mind. Someday she'd get right with God. She thought she was going to get well. You know, most people do have this idea, it won't get me. I'll get well, especially somebody young. But brother, that cancer took off in her. I mean, it took off. It just went to raging in her body, eating her up. And it was just week after week, it was noticeably worse in her life. And I'm telling you, I was getting desperate because I've dealt with a lot of people. I know how death can come on. And I was praying for her healing, but I was praying for her salvation most of all. God would save this soul. We didn't want to lose Sandra. And so, I've told y'all, some of y'all weren't here, but I'm going to tell it again. So just hold on. Amen. Wednesday night we had prayer meeting. Prayed for Sandra. This is one of the focuses of our prayer. Sandra, I said, I want you to pray. First of all, she'll be saved. Secondly, she'll be healed. So we prayed for Sandra. When I got home, I had a message on my answering machine. That she was worse. Called over there. Vicki answered. Told me that she had fallen. She's taken her to the emergency room in Roanoke. She couldn't get around anymore. Had her in a wheelchair. And I said, all right, I'll wait till you get up there. Tell me, you call me, let me know what they say. And we'll go from there. And God changed my mind. I'm telling you, it was God changed my mind. I don't know how it happened. I don't know why it happened. It was God changed my mind. While I was talking to Vicki, I said, Vicki, I've just changed my mind. I'm coming over there right now. So I got in my car and drove to Axton, went in the house, and there sat Sandra in her wheelchair. Vicki had her van backed up to the back door to take her to Roanoke. They were waiting on a call from the doctor. And I sat down beside Sandra, and Sandra said, Preacher Bill. She called me Preacher Bill. She said, Preacher Bill, I need help. I said, Sandra, I know you need help. But I said, more than help in your body, you need help in your soul. She said, I know it. And she went to crying. She said, I need to be saved. And she said, I want to be saved. And so she went on and she said, I want to be saved tonight. And I talked to her about the plan of salvation. And I said, Sandra, we're going to pray. And we prayed. And she prayed. And after we got through praying, she said, I'm saved. God has saved my soul. And she's told Aunt Vicki, she said, I'm saved, Aunt Vicki. I'm saved. Praise God. Amen. And she was a-crying. After a while, we were sitting there. She said, I'm feeling so much better. I don't really want to go anywhere. And her husband said, well, you got to go anyway. I said, did you listen to your husband? But she said, I can't hardly keep from smiling. Amen. And when she went to the hospital, she was testifying to the doctors, testifying to the nurses. God has saved me. Her loved ones would come in there to visit with her. This is one of the first things she wanted to tell them. God has saved me. Praise God. Me and Judy went up there. She heard that Judy was there. She wanted to see Judy. First thing she told you, I believe, was, I'm Judy, I'm saved. Praise God. She didn't know she was going to die. After she got worse, I went to her bedside yesterday. Fact is, I went twice yesterday. We was coming home last night. It was late. I didn't know if I was going to really be able to get by there. I had to go by the store. And we called up there. And Kim was there. Kim said, if you have time, please come by. So we drove back to the hospital and went in. And she was just fading in and out. But we didn't know. I mean, they was talking about sending her home Thursday. We didn't really know what might happen. But this, I'm backing up. Let me back up. Yesterday morning, we went in. Sandra began talking to me. She said, Preacher, I got some questions for you. She said, how will it be when you die? I said, Will you see God before you die? And so I talked to her about that. She said, well, how would it happen? And I read her some scripture. And I told her about the angels coming and getting Lazarus, the beggar at the rich man's gate, and explained to her that when we died as Christians, we just moved out of this body and we moved to another one. God said, if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building in heaven, eternal in the heavens. So we're just moving from one place to another. And I talked to her, and she seemed to be satisfied. Praise God. Amen. Didn't seem to be afraid. Just seemed to just want to know, how's it going to be? I said to her, Sandra, you feel like you're going to die? I said, we're praying for God to heal you, but do you feel like that the Lord's going to take you? She said, well, I don't know whether he is or not. And she said, I sort of feel like he is. But she never seemed sad. And she was a testifying right on up. Thank God that God has saved me. This morning she moved, struck her tent cords, folded up that old tent, and moved to a better place. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. That's why Sandra is in heaven this morning. God gave her a space to repent. Yeah, it was divinely ordered by God. Oh yeah, it was divinely ordered. God changed my mind and said, go to that house. I went because God sent me there. I mean, I did not know that at that time, but it was divinely ordered by God. The Lord was ordering our steps to save Sandra Connor. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning for the mercy of God? Aren't you glad that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance? While Sister Judy comes to the piano, it is the devil's favorite trick to persuade people to wait. Put it off. Some other day, I'll get right with God. Been many a soul, in fact, perhaps the majority of souls that have gone to hell out of a society saturated with the gospel, the majority of them went to hell intending to get right with God. But Satan has a favorite trick of telling us another day, another time, there'll be another opportunity some other day. When you're young, you got to get out of school. After I graduate, I'll get right with God. After you graduate, it's after I get married. After I find me a companion, I'll get right with God. Then after you get married, Satan says, well, you've got to make some money. And so you put it off. And then he tells you, you've got to have a good time. Jesus will ruin your life, so you got to have a good time. Wait till you have your good time, and then give your life to the Lord. After a while, it's when I retire, I'm going to give my heart and life to Jesus. And then something comes along, and something else comes along, and after a while, we've waited too late. So I'm going to tell you now, friends, I want y'all to hear me now. I want you to hear me. Nobody plans when they're going to get saved. You're going to get saved when God's dealing with you, or you're not going to get saved. You're not going to plan the day of your salvation. You're going to get saved while the Spirit of God is drawing you, or you're not going to get saved at all. I've stood over the beds of dying people standing on the verge of eternity, talk to them about their soul, and they was just as cold as an ice cube toward God and had no interest in getting right with God.
That's right.
You don't plan the day you get saved.
That's right.
God comes. God speaks. God deals. God calls. We come then, or we do not come at all. There's a day. There's a window of opportunity. The Bible says even about Jezebel, I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. God said, I gave that wicked woman space to repent, and she repented not. In other words, God would have saved even Jezebel if she'd have let him. That's the mercy of God. That's the goodness of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I want us to stand together this morning, all over this building. Souls that are lost without Jesus. I want you to step out, make your way to this altar this morning. The Spirit of God is in this place. God is speaking to hearts. It's time to get right with God. Time is running out. Our day is fast ending. Where is the sun in the day of your opportunity? Is it setting even now? Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come, give your heart to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to preach the gospel. I'm glad, Jesus, it is not your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I'm asking you, Lord, to speak to hearts this morning. I'm praying, Father, that there would be a space of repentance for that soul, those souls in this place who need God this morning. Father, speak clearly, speak forcefully. Hearts this morning into your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. While we're waiting here just a few moments, is there a soul? You feel the troubling of God's Spirit in your heart. You need to get right with God. There's a gentle voice calling. A gentle knock at your heart's door. Would you come? Would you come and kneel in these altars this morning? Give your heart and life to Jesus. Live your life for the Son of God. Follow Jesus. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. All come to repentance. We're waiting just a few moments. Just a few moments. Just a few moments. Decisions are being made for eternity. Just a few moments. Decisions made for eternity. Would you come? Would you yield to Jesus? The call of the Son of God. Young people, are you right with God? Moms and dads, are you right with God? You know, down deep in your heart, I'm ready to meet God. Should I die before I get home this morning? My heart is fixed. My heart is right with God. Would you step out this morning? Come to this altar. Give your heart to Jesus. Let Jesus save you. Please come. Please come. Please come. Please come. Ask me. leading, calling to men. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for those who have come to be in the house of God. Lord, I praise you for saving Sandra Connor. God, my heart is full when I think of the mercy of God. And the fact that God wills that all men to be saved. Lord, I'm praying that every soul in this place doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, will come to know Him in this day, Lord. God, I'm glad we don't have to be in church to be saved. But Lord, wherever we are, we can call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. Do your mighty work, Lord. Don't let one soul in this building go to bed tonight without being saved. Trouble our hearts, Lord. Give to us a desire, a hunger to know God. Lord, I pray that by the time night falls on this day, every soul in this place will be saved. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. This morning, tonight, 5:30, we'll be having youth service. Kyle's going to have the object lesson tonight, but he is in South Carolina. His wife's grandmother died in South Carolina, so they're down there. We won't be having an object lesson tonight, but we will be having.
We'll be having singing practice.
Singing practice with the children. And I'll be talking to the older youth about church manners tonight. And